Blog Talk Radio.
Everything go your way.
When you deal with computers, you deal with ones and zeros. And the only way that you can make a computer more powerful is to expand the consciousness of the computer.
Well, it's something bigger than ourselves. And that's got to be said.
That has to do with the self-image that people have.
You know, just kind of your ego being swept aside or being kind of stomped on or being swatted like a fly.
It really is and truly happening at a societal level.
It is being able to take what feels like ordinary human energy and mastering extraordinary power, even with a single person in a society with this kind of power. Call it the X Factor.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Hot Zone. I'm Carrie Lights, and you might also know me as Scary Carrie. I'll be your host tonight, coming to you live from Potter's Creek campsite at Canyon Lake, Texas, not too far southwest of Austin, Texas. This is our fourth week back in the Hot Zone, as well as the end of the summer with Labor Day weekend upon us. I'm so grateful to be here with y'all for the second episode of our new season of the Hot Zone, sponsored by TruthFindersNetwork.com. As of this evening, there are less than 70 days left to the presidential election. And tonight, we're taking it a bit easy, just an hour episode this short holiday week, but it's long enough to dig in a bit to a few topics at hand. Mainly the labor in our country. So many of us out of work or underemployed, and so many suffering some of the hardest times ever. So it will be a chilled night in the Hot Zone, kind of an oxymoron actually. But as always, we'll keep it fair and balanced. And remember, while you can feel free to take sides and pick candidates and issues, this is ultimately a bipartisan discussion for all, and it will be a no-judgment zone. All right, we're going to start off the show, as we have been doing, with Red Skelton. I wonder how many of you remember him. And his rendition of The Pledge, which is, I just can't get enough of it, and I would love it if towards the end when he actually first, he's going to explain it as a teacher did for him when he was a boy, and then he's going to recite it. And so wherever you're at, if you'll do that with me, join in, I would love that. So let's get that up. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Red Skelton's Pledge of Allegiance.
I remember a teacher that I had. Now, I went through the seventh grade. I went to the seventh grade. I left home when I was 10 years old because I was hungry. And I used to, this is true. I work in the summer and I go to school in the winter. But I had this one teacher. He was the principal of the Harrison School in Vincennes, Indiana. To me, this was the greatest teacher, a real sage of my time, anyhow. He had such wisdom. And we were all reciting the Pledge of Allegiance one day. And he walked over, this little old teacher. Mr. Laswell was his name. Mr. Laswell, he says, I've been listening to you boys and girls recite the Pledge of Allegiance all semester, and it seems as though it's becoming monotonous to you. If I may I recite it and try to explain to you the meaning of each word? I, me, an individual, a committee of one, pledge, dedicate all of my worldly goods to give without self-pity. Allegiance, my love, and my devotion to the flag, our standard, oh glory, a symbol of freedom. Wherever she waves, there's respect, because your loyalty has given her a dignity that shouts, freedom is everybody's job. United. That means that we have all come together. States. Individual communities that have united into 48 great states. 48 individual communities with pride and dignity and purpose. All divided with imaginary boundaries, yet united to a common purpose. And that's love for country. And to the Republic. Republic. A state in which sovereign power is invested in representatives chosen by the people to govern. And government is the people. And it's from the people to the leaders, not from the leaders to the people, for which it stands. One nation, meaning so blessed by God, indivisible. Incapable of being divided, with liberty, which is freedom, the right of power to live one's own life without threats, fear, or some sort of retaliation, and justice, the principle or qualities of dealing fairly with others, for all, which means, boys and girls, it's as much your country as it is mine. And now, boys and girls, let me hear you recite the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands,
one nation.
Indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Since I was a small boy, two states have been added to our country, and two words have been added to the Pledge of Allegiance, under God. Wouldn't it be a pity if someone said that is a prayer, and that would be eliminated from schools too?
I keep playing that every week at the beginning of the show because I have almost a visceral reaction. I get just a little, or actually a lot, emotional when I hear him say at the very end, and I almost feel like I can hear it, a crack in his own voice as he says, and wouldn't that be something if they took the pledge out of school because of those two words, under God? And as I was saying it along with him, I couldn't help but say it with those two words. It's all I've ever known. My own son, my youngest son of three, my husband and I are blessed. We have seven beautiful children. They're grown. Our youngest, our baby is going to be 18 this Labor Day weekend, actually. He's going to be old enough to vote. And they've taken the pledge out of his school and many, many, many schools across our country. And they were actually, I forget the details now, hopefully maybe sometime during the show, maybe he can even call in and share what exactly the details were again. But that was a big deal at his school, and some people pushed back against that, and they're actually saying it, I believe, twice a week now. I guess that's some sort of compromise. But, it was deemed a prayer, and it was taken out of school. That gets me pretty emotional. Tonight, I want to talk about the haves and the have-nots, the powerful and the underdogs, the involved and the apathetic. What are we to do when the very people who are supposed to be helping people serving our beloved America are hurting it, hurting us, and hurting those who are down and out and barely hanging on. Every decade has its good stuff and its not so good. You know, the trail goes all the way back in time to before they even recorded history. And its effects caused by everything that happens all along the way. You know, now we're in an ultra-modern, ultra-digital time. Almost the entire globe is literally connected. And here we are, and the entire world is watching our quote-unquote fun and games. But it's not a game, is it? We all know our lives, our America, our future, our children's future, make that entire world literally affected. Our entire world is going to be affected by our American 2016 presidential election in a way never before seen or heard. And I want to ask you tonight, you know, what role will you play? Will you play one at all? That's a, you know, pretty big question. I'm going to be joined tonight by Noel Rosen. He'll be joining me for the discussion in the hot zone. You know, I want there to be real talk about real life in America and how this year's presidential election is really going to play out in each person's life in real time. Remember, let's just keep working together. Keep talking to each other, and we'll keep getting results for our America. And with that, I am going to play the national anthem. Let me pull it up. I've got a couple to choose from. I keep going back to the Whitney Houston version because it's so good. But I'm going to play The Star-Spangled Banner tonight by Madison Rising, and it's a pretty sweet version as well. So enjoy listening to that with me. Again, I want to thank TruthFindersNetwork.com for sponsoring this show, and I'll see you on the other side of our beloved America's national anthem.
Can you see
Special. I hope that y'all enjoyed that. Thank you so much to Madison Rising. Okay, so let's get started here again. And I've got to keep saying thank you to TruthFindersNetwork.com for sponsoring the season of The Hot Zone. Y'all can join me on their homepage in the chat room there. And there's a direct link to listen. And then you can listen and join in the chat room. I'll be taking your comments and questions from there, as well as from any callers. Feel free to call in at any time. Again, we have a short show tonight, but it's a toll-free number, 323-870-3379. And just press 1 if you would like to join the conversation on air, or you can even just hang out and listen on your phone. You can take our show on the go with you, too, by listening from your cell or landline, and tonight's broadcast will be available in downloadable podcast by midnight. So as soon as it is, it'll be posted on the TruthFindersNetwork.com homepage, as well as the TruthFindersNetwork.com Facebook page. A special shout-out and welcome to all of my longtime listeners, and welcome to our new listeners. And I'm just always so excited to be here with all of you. This is a great privilege, and I totally embrace that and do not take it for granted. Talk about freedom of speech when you are able to get on air and potentially turn one conversation into millions, which is basically my mission statement. So I want to thank you for being here. And again, that number is 323-870-3379, and the phones are open. I'm hearing you hear that click. Sorry if that's annoying. Oh, cool. Everybody, I'm getting some feedback you can hear. I'm going to go ahead and leave that on unless it starts to get real, real bad, which would be great because that means that the conversation is flying. But I've got a lot of screens going. I'm kind of multitasking, and that click lets me know that one of y'all are reaching out to me. As I was, starting to mention, I know most people understand the kind of hardships that I was talking about at the beginning of the show. It's that very truth that inspired me to take up the broadcasting in the beginning, back in 2011. And over the past few years, it's proven to be just about impossible to keep up with. But this election has had me so frustrated and stressed out. I mean, literally, my blood pressure has been up there. I mean, that's like a figure of speech in America. But, like, for me, it's been real this past 6 months, I would say, for sure. And I'm being serious. It is not okay. And I finally decided that no matter how hard it was to find the time and energy to bring this season of The Hot Zone to you every Tuesday night until the election, I am committed to do just that. In fact, I've had back and forth conversation over the last couple of days as to whether or not to do it. But just with my own personal prayer and just asking around, you know, I really knew that the show must go on, and the commitment is really important. And frankly, our country is important. I mean, there's not much I wouldn't do for my husband, my children, or my country. And, you know, being not feeling well and not really, you know, having an ideal setup, so to speak, you know, that's not a reason. And I'm just really glad, like I said, to be with you. When I say that, I'm not kidding, because it is a privilege. So, again, I thank you all for joining me tonight. You know, we can't take for granted how truly blessed we are to live in such a beautiful and amazing country, or how precious our freedom truly is. One of the reasons that we gather in the hot zone is with the hope of creating positive results, you know, results that'll empower us, that'll help us survive the crazy and stressful drama of this election, but of life. And this week, my husband and my son and I have been out at the lake, as I mentioned at the beginning. I'm at Potter's Creek, which is at Canyon Lake, Texas. In fact, as the show started, the sun is still setting, and I was watching a little family of deer. They're just so cute. They've been playing out in the center of these campsites. It's just amazing. But the life is stressful. You know, without the presidential election, life is so stressful. And for those of us who are struggling with, like I said, you know, no jobs, or maybe you have a job and all you can get are part-time hours, or you are totally not making enough to survive, I mean, it is so hard. And when my husband and I were bringing up our family, when he wouldn't get in, he's an automotive technician, and he's been doing that his whole adult life, basically. And we've always been really blessed that that's been a profession that's served our giant family. I have seven grown children. But with such a big family, and by the way, back in the 90s, we had more income to use for things other than, you know, food and bills with seven kids in the house, you know. And now it's so different. And I watch so many families out there that are like we were, maybe not as big, but I watch, you know, even my own children raising their families. We've got 11 grandchildren, and you know, they just struggle so bad. And I know that that is the story, and I'm sorry, but it gets me emotional because, you know, it's so hard out there. And that's what life is like right now, from coast to coast and border to border. And that's what this election is about. Where are we going to go from here? Because the plain and simple truth is, it boils down to two people, you know, and I've had this debate with so many people over time in the past, I don't know, well, just the whole electoral season, this whole cycle, and so many people have said, oh, you know, we're just, Ted Cruz, heck, he said it at the Republican National Convention, just vote your conscience, vote straight down the line. Well, you know, I guess that's better than not voting at all. But folks, if you've got to realize something, you only get one vote. One vote. And everybody talks about Hillary Clinton and the eliteness of her family and of all of these people who, quote unquote, pay to play through the Clinton Foundation. You know, folks, all those people, do you realize that at night they lose sleep over your vote, your one vote? You know how I know this? Because over the course of the past 5 years of broadcasting and all of the research that I've done and documents that I've been sent, sometimes by people I didn't even know. Here, look at this. You know, I've seen minutes to meetings of secret societies where they talk about our vote, people. Like, they literally have conversations, many, many, many conversations about our vote, because it's the one thing no one can take away from us except for us. We are the only ones that can get in our own way. And I hear people all the time talk about the system being rigged. And you know what? You're right. There are a lot of systems in this state that are going to be rigged, that are rigged. But we can't. That means more of us have to go out and vote to make up for it. There is not one argument out there, not one, that can hold up against the argument that our founding fathers built, like, baked into the Constitution. Okay, they created and built it for a society, for communities and citizens who are one, involved, and that is done in two ways. One, by voting, and two, by getting involved, by being educated. It's actually a part of the Constitution that we educate ourselves. It's our civil responsibility. So it's just, you know, it's hard. Like, I went out to lunch with my mom a couple of weeks ago. She's one of these kind of people that is, you know, a long, long time non-voter. It's been many, many, many cycles since she's voted. And she told me, I don't know which person I want to vote for, and I'm torn. And I'm like, well, you've got to pick one. You got to pick one, and that's what this is about. We have to pick one. And it doesn't matter where you look. There are going to be four main people on the ballot in November for president of the United States. One is going to be Jill Stein. She's at like 1% right now. The next is going to be Johnson. I guess Gary Johnson, I think. Excuse me for getting that wrong, but he's got like 6%. I can't remember his name. Sorry, Mr. Johnson. But that just goes to show you. And then, of course, I'm going to put third, Hillary Rodham Clinton, who is, in my lifetime, I have only read about people as corrupt as she is, as family dynasties as corrupt as hers. But those are our choices. Those are the four choices. That's it. And if you either do not vote, or you vote for one of the two people that are at 1% and 6%, that means your vote is wasted. And the elite, the wealthy, the interest groups, the super PACs, all of the people, the 1%ers, all those people, they are so gonna get, they're going to, nothing will make them happier than if you just don't vote. Or if you just go and vote for one of the two bottom ticket people, candidates, because you can't make up your mind, you don't like either Trump or Clinton. So let's just make that okay. I mean, I have crossed over the line this season. I am an opinionated host. Normally my platform is totally neutral, and even as an opinionated host, all opinions and all thoughts are welcome here, which is why I really encourage you to call in. Again, it's a toll-free number, 323-870-3379. You know, put your questions and comments in the chat room. Be talking about them. But I cannot stress enough, because here's the thing, okay? You can break it down to two candidates, Trump or Clinton, and you can break it down to two main issues. Main issues. One is economy and one is security. And Clinton cannot help our economy. Okay? All she knows how to do is corrupt our economy and everything else. That is proven. That is not just my opinion. That is proven. Her husband did it. You know, he did balance the budget. I will give them that. Absolutely. I watched them do it. Or him do it. There's kind of no difference. They go together. You get one, you get both. But the thing of it is he didn't have a 21 plus trillion and counting debt. And he didn't have all of the elite in the world paying to play. And I could just go on and on. He didn't have an email. We didn't have email back then. And those who did were the elite. Okay, but now the other party ticket, major party ticket, the Democratic candidate, she has become literally the most untrustworthy and insecure candidate of all time. And yeah, there's a lot of opinion in that, but you know what else? There's a lot of fact, and we all know that. Okay? Donald Trump may not be perfect. None of us are. But there is one thing he is good at, and that is business, including his bankruptcies. Because if you've got big business, and you've got pieces that aren't working, you get rid of them. You cut your losses before they drag you down. Okay, so I've got a caller. I'm going to pull them in. But real quick, we're going to take a break. We're already halfway through. But I just want to hit that home real quick because I want to leave you guys with that thought of realizing that we literally have less than 70 days left to choose a new president. And we have one who has literally come out and said that she is going to be exactly like Obama. She is going to be his third term. Okay? That means more of the same. And we know that she is correct. And we have another who is very wealthy, because he has been a smart businessman. And that's what I want to talk about the next half. I want to talk about what it's like to work your butt off in this country, whether you work for someone else or you own a business like I do, and how hard it is. And I do not want things to get any harder. Okay, all Hillary talks about is regulations. That scares me to death as a small business owner. I want to cut out for a break. And like I said, I'm going to do a song. Hang on one second real quick. Okay, by Johnny Cash. And I'm going to do one by Johnny Cash, Ragged Old Flag. And I want to do Tap by John Wayne. That's about 6 minutes. I'll see you on the other side.
I walked through a county courthouse square. On a park bench, an old man was sitting there. I said, "Your old courthouse is kind of run down." He said, "No, it'll do for our little town." I said, "Your old flagpole has leaned a little bit, and that's a ragged old flag you got hanging on it." He said, "Have a seat." And I sat down. "Is this the first time you've been to our little town?" I said, "I think it is." He said, "I don't like to brag, but we're kind of proud of that ragged old flag. You see, we got a little hole in that flag there when Washington took it across the Delaware. And it got powder burned the night that Francis Scott Key sat watching it write and say, 'Can you see?' And it got a bad rip in New Orleans, with Pakenham and Jackson tugging at its seams. and it almost fell at the Alamo. Beside the Texas flag, but she waved on, though. She got cut with a sword at Chancellorsville, and she got cut again at Shiloh Hill. There was Robert E. Lee, Beauregard, and Bragg, and the south wind blew hard on that ragged old flag. On Flanders Field in World War I, she got a big hole from a Bertha gun. She turned blood red in World War II. She hung limp and low a time or two. She was in Korea, Vietnam. She went where she was sent by her Uncle Sam. She waved from our ships upon the briny foam, and now they've about quit waving back here at home. In her own good land here, she's been abused. She's been burned, dishonored, denied, and refused. And the government for which she stands is scandalized throughout the land. And she's getting threadbare and she's wearing thin, but she's in good shape for the shape she's in. 'Cause she's been through the fire before, and I believe she can take a whole lot more. So we raise her up every morning, we take her down every night, we don't let her touch the ground, and we fold her up right. On second thought, I do like to brag, 'cause I'm mighty proud of that ragged old flag.
It was July in Virginia. The scent of the dogwood and the laurel lay heavy on the land, while the burgeoning fruit of the peach and the apple marked the full sway of summer. For seven fateful days, the trees, the flowers, yes, the very ground itself, had shuddered under the roar of cannon, bark of howitzers, and the crackling of a legion of rifles. Now all was silent. Sledgehammer blows of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson had mauled the Army of the Potomac, and yet that army was not destroyed. 7,000 men had fallen in that dreadful week, and the savagery of the conflict was grimly evident in the river of wounded that wound through the green hills. Now a new sound drifted in the soft evening sky. For Colonel Dan Butterfield, a courageous and able soldier, was also a man of music. To honor his fallen comrades, he had composed a simple and heart-rending melody. On July 2nd, in the year of 1862, its strains floated over the graves that scarred the dark Virginia earth. It has been more than 100 years since that sound was born, but those notes have never died away. Every night of the year, throughout the world, fighting men of America from the north and the south, the east and the west, close their eyes in sleep to its call. And in each of their hearts, there glows a fierce surge of pride.
Sing, sing, fly.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you enjoyed that. Again, that was Ragged Old Flag by Johnny Cash, and then Taps by John Wayne. I just love that old stuff because it sure does resemble the kind of patriotism that I wished we would see. And that's kind of what I want to talk about the last few minutes that we have together. It's going to go by really fast. But the one thing that I really want to leave with you guys is the fact that I was watching a movie with my husband and my son this week. We've been out at the lake and pulled out some old movies that we had, and one of them is North Country. It came out in 2005 with Charlize Theron, and I'm sure many of you remember that movie and seen that movie. It was very popular, and it was about the mining in Minnesota, the North Country. And back in the day, in the 80s, when they first started hiring women in the mines, you know, there was one woman for every 30 men. And these were very regulated companies, industries with unions. But, you know, that didn't help the women. And that's something else. You know, Hillary wants all this regulation. She's for unions, straight out. And, you know, that's one of the biggest differences between Democrats and Republicans. Democrats want lots and lots and lots of government. Republicans want less and less and less government. And we don't want regulation. You know, and sometimes regulations are necessary. Law and order is necessary. But you can regulate something to death. Regulations are not the same as law and order. And you can regulate something literally to death. And, you know, women were just horribly treated. And that's what, you know, it made me think about, she got pregnant as a teenager. I got pregnant as a teenager. She was an abused woman. My daughter is an abused woman, is no longer, thank you, Lord. I've been abused. Many, many people out there have been. You know, she was a single mom. I've been a single mom. You know, I've got children who are single moms. It's hard out there, y'all. And with a Clinton presidency, it is only going to get harder. And all you have to do is look back at the past 8 years and see how it's been. Because she says it's going to, I'm the next Obama. And in the same sentence, she says, with change. That's crazy talk. I mean, it's the definition of insanity is when you do the same thing again and again and expect different results. I've got an old and dear friend with me, Preacher Bill, and I'm going to pull him in here. You know, I guess the reason why this resonated so much with me, besides some of the similarities I mentioned, is the fact that, you know, I keep thinking, I've never seen it worse. The violence is so bad, you know, all these things. And then I watched that movie and I realized, you know, it really has never been worse, but it's always been bad. You know, that's what I was saying at the beginning of the show. Every decade that has ever been has had the good and the bad and the ugly, the haves, the have nots. It's up to us to make the choices. You know, she had to fight for so long by herself with no one by her side, not even her parents. And she bore that on her back. And we don't all fight that hard, and we should. We should fight that hard. We should fight that hard for ourselves, for our families, for our future, for our country. And this country was not built for people who do not participate. It just wasn't. You know what, Preacher Bill, I think that's the one thing that drives me the most crazy is that people think that they don't have to vote. Like, you know, and I mean, I understand a lot of the reasons, like I hear what they're saying, but there's like nothing that can make it okay to not do it. They're just tearing down the walls while we don't vote.
They like it that way, though. They like it that way, sister. Oh, you got to remember, when it comes to voting, we have a two system. You have the Republican side and the Democratic side. You don't really have the people side. You have a party side. That's what makes it.
I think that's
the
what I like about
part.
Trump. It's still like, because he's not a regular politician. He doesn't. He's like, you know, like being on the people's side, and people want to complain about him being out of place or saying, you know, this or that. But at least I know that he's going to be himself, and he's going to educate himself enough. Because you can't always just be black and white on everything. It doesn't work like that. Because we can't possibly know everything. There's just no way.
You know, you mentioned earlier about freedom of speech and being in a country where we can have freedom of speech. I think that's what they dislike the most about a man like Trump. The man may not speak politically correctness, but he does speak his mind. And that's the sad part in our country today. We are so kept from saying what we want to say, how we want to say it. Now, I get it. We shouldn't cuss and we shouldn't be pointing fingers at people. But we should be pointing out the issues. And I honestly believe that's what he's been doing, is pointing out the issues. I had somebody say to me that they wouldn't vote for him because, you know, how can you vote for a guy who is pro-choice, and how can you vote for a guy who is owns a couple of strip clubs and he's into gambling and he's filed bankruptcy and blah, blah, blah. Listen, don't think that the Clintons ain't had their hands in a lot of filthy stuff. Okay, we all know they have.
Well, that's the thing. It's worse, though. I mean, you know, and really, if you look back, all of our founding fathers had some issue. I mean, there were men who, and none of it's okay. None of it is okay. It wasn't okay then, and it's not okay now, and it's never going to be okay. But the thing of it is who do we want? We want, which is the lesser of the evils?
Well, see, that's the part that we all have a big problem with. We're left with lesser of two evils, and both of them are pretty evil when it comes to what they've done. The issue, though, is we're not selecting someone as the top Christian of the world. We're selecting a person that runs corporate America. And who better than a man that's involved in corporations around the world? Okay?
Well, you know, I was watching a video yesterday that it was like ridiculously long, one of those 30-minute, I mean, people don't watch 30-minute videos. I posted it anyway, just for the simple fact it was the long road to the, I don't remember the exact name, but it was basically the long road to the White House. And it showed Trump from like when he was in his 40s and all the way through to this year. And, you know, he literally said for decades and decades, people were asking him, so many people. People don't realize until you watch a video like that how many people have asked Mr. Trump to run for president. From all over the world, celebrities, all over the world, will you run for president? Are you going to run for president? Please run for president. No, I don't want to do that. I don't think I want to do that. And now here he is in his golden years when he should be with the money that he has and the beautiful family that he has, you know, just enjoying that, enjoying the results of his successes. But he's not. He's like giving all of that up to go and be president. And then I heard somebody say to him how that will, I think it was Greta Van Susteren. I don't remember. I don't want to get that wrong.
Right.
But they asked
him,
how would it be like to go from Trump Tower, you know, down as a step down to the White House? And his answer was so amazing to me, because and this is what I love about Trump, is when he says something, you know, it's not bull crap. It's like real talk.
Well, like
he
says, he's not,
well,
look, he's not reading from parties. He's not reading from the
exactly.
party's teleprompter card. That's
and he said,
different.
Wait a minute. Wait, that's not a step down. Are you kidding me?
Right.
He said, the White House is such a special place. There's nothing like it.
When a top dog in the corporate world ends up in the White House, he's in the top spot of corporate. Because America, let's face it, America is corporate. Okay?
It is.
That's why there's the two United States. There's the United States and the United States. And one of them is a corporation, the other one is the freedoms of the people. The problem is for most people have turned back to being led by the government system. That's what the issue has come to. We've become where we want the government to tell us what to do. Obama said it himself, the American people are stupid. Those words came right out of his own mouth. And Hillary ain't much different by doing what she's doing. And the people that will elect her.
People want to be able to believe that they don't have to work hard.
Absolutely.
The truth is,
absolutely,
there is freaking nothing easy. Nothing.
Well, here's another thing, though. Let me tell you something. It's just like when I try to talk to people on the level of preaching and the gospel. They think that, well, if God is so good, why do these things happen? They seem to forget that with all struggles comes the fact that you have to work for those struggles so that you can get to the other side to learn from it. That's where we get our skills from, by somebody giving it to us. You get your skills by working.
It makes you lazy. It makes you complacent. And you don't know what to do. I mean, my own children, you know, my husband and I worked so hard to give them an easier life. And as a result, they don't have street smarts. They're not sharp like we are. They don't know what to do. I mean, we never went without raising our kids because when things got tight, my husband got to work. And if he didn't have hours at the shop, he went and scrapped metal or flipped a car. Yeah. I mean,
there's nothing wrong with hustling so you can get by. You know,
people,
I've been a hustler all my life.
They want the easy street. There's no easy street.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, if you think of it on the terms of this, like the conversation that was said to me today, my son went back home to his hometown where he was brought up, right, to visit family members over the past weekend. While they were there, they went out onto a beach. He said there must have been 500 to 1,000 people in a group playing that stupid Pokemon game.
He said,
until you can see it, you can't believe it. But he goes, Dad, I'm telling you, these people are just wandering around on the beach playing that game in a huge group, and they're all on the same thing. Now, why aren't they out looking for a way to make a living? They've lost their intuition.
If you've got time to do that and you can do that for fun and that's what you want to do for fun, I mean, that's different. But when you do things and it trumps, excuse the pun, your functionality in life, you've got to ask yourself, why, you know, like the Talking Heads song, how did I get here? You know.
Well, what about priorities? What about priorities? These people have no priorities anymore. They spend their money on tattoos. They spend their money on eating at restaurants. They spend their money frivolously, and then they wonder why they can't afford anything. That's why we need somebody that can say to the country, if you want to have a home, if you want the American dream, if you want to be able to stay warm, if you want to be able to eat, if you want to have new clothes, you're going to have to get out and do something about it. I'm not giving it to you.
Exactly. I love that. You know, they were talking about, like, tomorrow he's going to do his immigration speech. And they were talking about, like, how he's, you know, softened or done this or that. But I know as a CEO, as a mom, and all the things that I've done in my life, that, first of all, things change over time. And for those that keep their mindset firmly in place, in almost like a bubble, you will not be successful in life, in anything, not in relationship, not at business. The labor that you put has to match the weakest links around you. And that's the thing. I hope that this Labor Day weekend is a time where we celebrate just that, all of the hard work that we're putting in. But, folks, it's going to be for nothing come November unless Donald Trump wins. It's just that simple. At least this guy cares about what you want. I mean, to see everybody succeed. He's already got what he wants. He's not the guy that's jealous because you got a nicer house. He's the guy that, one, has a nice house and doesn't care And two, we'll be happier if you've got one also. It's, life is better
that
way.
I'll put it in one word. Hillary Clinton's all about power.
And she's all about
one word, that one word, power. And I'm not kidding you. If you think I'm kidding you, look at what Obama's done to our country. It's all about what I can do, I, as the one with the power and the pen.
Well,
that changes what I want.
H as in Hillary,
want.
H as in her. Her.
Yep, absolutely.
And it's all about her. It's always all about her. When is it going to be about y'all, folks? When is it going to be about Americans? When is it going to be about America? And believe it or not, we've only got 4 minutes left. It just blows my mind.
Yep.
I'll
say this one more thing, and then I'll get off the air. They're only going
to
go for Hillary because she is a woman. Because obviously she's been lying her way to the top right along. There's nothing good about her.
Well, you know what? There's just not. And, you know, even if there was, whatever she had that was good, it got buried. It got buried. You know, sometimes people go to the top, and as they go, they lose themselves. And they get lost. It's happened in front of our eyes to celebrities, to pastors, to...
Remember, you can't hold the coals in your bosom and not get burned.
Exactly.
And unfortunately, system is all about. That's why a Christian could never get into the office of the White House. Because if he did, wouldn't be long before the devil corrupted him.
I'm a woman, you know. I'm all for seeing a woman become... president. I was excited that, you know, an African American was voted president. But that was the year I was gone, and it was the only year of my life I wasn't able to participate in getting educated, and I didn't know what he was about. And when I came home, I literally had nothing, like a blank slate in my mind. So I had to watch it unfold. I had no preset notions. But he has been terrible for this country, and he has been terrible because our crime is higher, poverty is higher, so crime is higher. People who are supposed to be in jail are not in jail. And, of course, you know, I don't want to take up, you know, we've got 2 minutes on hours and hours worth of truth. But the thing of it is that in 2 minutes, that's more than enough time to say how real everybody needs to see that it is that in November you get that one chance, that one vote. Please don't waste it. You know, please don't stay home. Please go out and vote. And please do what Cruz said, vote your conscience, but not down the line. Vote because your conscience won't let you let this country and the future for your family and your children's children go down the tube. Well, folks, we're done. I mean, we're out of time. And Preacher Bill, I just love you, brother, so much. You're so precious, and I love that we got to chat a little bit about all of this. Two takeaways for tonight. One, vote. Did I say vote? And two, remember, there are two people. It is Trump Pence, Clinton Kane. And I'm telling you, Trump Pence is the only way to go. All right, y'all. Thank you to TruthFindersNetwork.com for sponsoring this show tonight, The Hot Zone. We'll see you next Tuesday night, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. And I appreciate everybody listening. Shout out to Mr. John. Thank you so much. And to my Martin and my Marty. I love you guys. I'll see you all same time, same place next week. Have a blessed week. Be safe out there. Happy Labor Day, everybody. God bless America.